This is Rafer Johnson. In a few moments, I'll tell you about my greatest sports thrill.
This is Harry Wismer. What you're about to hear is a transcribed story of one of the nation's outstanding track stars and an event our special guest, Rafer Johnson, considers his greatest sports thrill. And Rafer himself is here to tell us all about it. But first, here is Bill Reddick with a message of interest from your United States Air Force.
In a thrilling ninth-inning rally, it may be difficult to pick out the most important baseball player on the field. However, in the expanding age of space, there's no question about who the most important men will be. The most important men in this new era will be Air Force-trained specialists, for the space age will be run by technicians. Right now, today, you still have the opportunity to get in on the ground floor. If you join the Air Force and are qualified for training, you'll be instructed by the finest technical experts available. Perhaps your field will be electronics, jet mechanics, guided missile systems, or radar. In any case, Air Force training will stick with you and make you a valuable man anywhere. So, see your local recruiter now for the full story on your future in the United States Air Force, where the age of space is reality. Now, back to Harry Wismer.
In Moscow, January the 28th, 1958, as Rafer Johnson stood in the winner's circle, still steeped in the sweat of his record-breaking decathlon duel against Vasily Kuznetsov, the crowd of 30,000 in Lenin Stadium cheered and kept cheering. It was a popular victory, not only with the Russian crowd, but popular also in a dozen countries where people know Rafer Johnson and his talents far better than his own countrymen. Rafer Johnson's score of 8,302 was 288 points better than his Russian rival had ever done. The most decisive victory since Bob Mathias opened the new decathlon era of true supermen. In the light of his career over a four-year period, Rafer Johnson's victory is still more remarkable. In 1955, as a UCLA freshman, Johnson had broken Bob Mathias's decathlon record. In his sophomore year, he served his university in 10 of the 15 events normally held in tough Pacific Coast meets. He was a hurdler and broad jumper of Olympic quality. Then, in Olympic practice at Melbourne, Australia, he severely injured a persistently weak left knee. After finishing second to Milt Campbell, his teammate, in the 1956 Olympic Games, Johnson underwent an operation. For over a year, his knee proved so untrustworthy that he was obliged to curtail practice, always pampering the leg in training so he might use it and abuse it, if necessary, in competition. In the 19 months between the Olympics and the Moscow visit, Rafer Johnson dared not practice the broad jump, high jump, or pole vault more than 4 days each. In his strong events, the hurdles and broad jump, he was reduced to being, by world standards, a man of average competence. Meanwhile, working out in events in which he used his legs less, he became the best all-around weight man the world has ever seen. It was the cheers of the Moscow crowd, as much as Rafer Johnson's performance, that made his two-day stand in Lenin Stadium a bright moment for many people. The meet in Lenin Stadium was run almost as if in defiance of the world anger surrounding it. The Russian crowd was obviously and logically partisan, but as Johnson moved ahead, he carried the crowd with him. When in the javelin, the ninth of 10 events, Johnson assured himself of victory and a new world record, the crowd came to its feet in a prolonged cheer. Other Americans in the stadium considered it an extraordinary tribute for a single hero. It was, they felt, the response of a knowing crowd who found in Rafer Johnson the finest athlete they had ever seen, and for that moment at least, nothing else mattered. Rafer Johnson is a gentleman and the greatest of the many athletic giants to come out of the California Valley of San Joaquin. For close to a decade now, he has been the favorite son of the 2,500 people in his valley home of Kingsburg. In April 1958, his 11,000 college mates at UCLA elected him president of the student body. 3 months later, he was named Sportsman of the Year by athletic organizations and publications all over the country. It was the impact of the man himself, rather than his Moscow decathlon victory, that made Rafer Johnson the worthiest sportsman. Rafer Johnson's position on the United States sports scene is a strange one. In 3 big decathlon tests abroad, 250,000 people watched him. In 6 decathlons at home, less than 20,000 Americans have seen him. In the U.S., the decathlon has lacked international flavor and is, in fact, so poorly understood that it cannot be appreciated. Rafer Johnson came to UCLA in 1955 after winning 11 varsity letters in major sports and serving as student body president in his senior year at Kingsburg, California High. As a freshman at UCLA, he went to Mexico City and set a new meet record in the decathlon at the Pan American Games. Then he came home and set 3 freshman records at UCLA in the high and low hurdles and the broad jump. He also ran on 2 record-breaking relay teams. Then, for a good closing act, he established a new world decathlon record of 7,983 points. As a sophomore, he was the chief agent in UCLA's drive to the NCAA track and field championships. In 1958, Rafer Johnson proved in the Moscow meet that he was the best all-around athlete in the world in the toughest test of athletic skill ever devised, the decathlon. And he proved it in dramatic fashion. When the Russian Kuznetsov broke Johnson's decathlon record early in 1958, Rafer was on the spot. He went to Moscow for the meeting of the champions, handicapped by his bad knee, a distinct underdog. Only 10 weeks before, Kuznetsov had scored 8,013 points, 28 better than Rafer's own world record of 7,985. Before 30,000 spectators in Lenin Stadium, Rafer Johnson put on a performance that prompted an odd Russian newspaper to write, and I quote, "It will dignify the history of world athletic records for a long time." As a student at UCLA, Rafer Johnson maintains a close to an A average. Rafer someday hopes to become a dentist, which is quite odd for an individual who has yet to make his first visit to a dentist chair. His track coach at UCLA, Ducky Drake, says that all you have to do is tell Rafer Johnson something once, and he can do it immediately. The Russian track coach said, after Johnson's great victory in the decathlon at Moscow, that only once in a lifetime does an athlete like Rafer Johnson come along. We here in America are very happy that Rafer Johnson performs under the colors of the red, white, and blue. Now, before you meet our special guest, Rafer Johnson, in person, and hear about his greatest sports thrill, here is a message of interest to all young men with an eye to the future.
Psychologists tell us that young people don't like to be left out of events in which their friends take part. This is true of adults, too, and why not? When exciting things take place, everyone just naturally wants to be part of them. Consider the dramatic advances now occurring in the space age. Consider, too, the important role the Air Force is playing in this new age and will continue to play. The fact is, the Air Force is the only service that has most of its men working on aircraft, missiles, and rockets, or in allied fields. This means that for top space-age training, the Air Force is way ahead. And that's why so many forward-thinking young men are joining this great outfit. They want the finest technical training, 30-day annual paid vacations, plus a full social life. If you're interested in valuable training and a promising future, see your local Air Force recruiter. He'll tell you all about the many Air Force opportunities now available. And now, back to Harry Wismer.
Rafer Johnson, what was your greatest sports thrill?
Well, Harry, my greatest sports thrill came of July 27th and 28th, 1958, in a dual track meet that was held between the United States and Russia. This meet was held in Moscow, and with a team of 77, I was one of the participants in the decathlon. And in this particular meet, I beat Vasily Kuznetsov and set a new world record of 8,302 points. That, Harry, I would say, has been my greatest sports thrill.
Rafer, being a good football player in high school, why haven't you gone out for football at UCLA?
Harry, I had planned to play football after the 1956 Olympic Games, but upon returning to school, I had knee trouble and had an operation in December 1956. And with the knee trouble I had and the knee operation, my knee was quite weak and I didn't go out for football. And that's the main reason I didn't play football, although in my mind it was one of my favorite sports.
Rafer, as the decathlon champion, would you say it is the most grueling of all track events?
Yes, I think so. The decathlon is quite grueling, but I think that the meet itself isn't quite as grueling as the preparation for the meet. I think this is the most grueling part, is the actual preparation that we have to go through in getting ready for international competition.
Rafer, is it your opinion that the standard of the decathlon event has been raised so much that no specialist in only a few events can compete in it?
I think this is true, Harry. In past years, a specialist will say in even one event could take part in a decathlon, and being a specialist in one event could just sort of be average in everything else and then all of a sudden take the lead by competing in a special event. But this isn't true anymore. You have to be a little above average in almost every event, but you still, at the same time, must have a good event.
Rafer, what was the high spot of your decathlon match with the great Russian star Vasily Kuznetsov in Moscow in July 1958?
The high spot was actually the ninth event, which was the javelin. Up to this time, I was leading Vasily Kuznetsov by some 125 points and had thrown 10 or 15 feet further than I had ever thrown before. So I knew it was going to be a tough meet and was getting down to the last two events. But in this ninth event, I threw 235 feet and he threw only about 215, and this gave me the margin of victory in this decathlon.
Rafer, what was the reaction of the Russian people to your decathlon victory?
Their reaction was surprising to me, because after the meet they cheered me as I took a lap around the track, and they cheered me as I accepted my medal and rushed into the track for my autograph after the meet, and they treated me just like I was one of their own athletes. A real peculiar thing happened after I had gone off the track and inside to get dressed. I went out to board a bus to go back to the hotel, and I was mobbed by Russian fans and grabbed and tossed up in the air like a little boy, and this was something very unusual, but I think it was very spontaneous and showed just the way the Russians accepted my victory over Kuznetsov.
Do you have one event in the decathlon that you enjoy more than the rest?
The event that I enjoy the most is the pole vault, though I don't score as many points in this event as I do in, say, the 100 meters or the hurdles, which are my best events. But for pure enjoyment, the pole vault would be the one I enjoy the most.
Rafer, how do you find it possible to get fired up, so to speak, for 10 events as compared to other athletes who specialize in only one event?
Well, all decathlon competitors know that they have 10 different events, and they know that they must get fired up for these 10 different events, and they just can't really depend on one event for all their points. So I think it's attitude, the mental makeup of the athlete that's competing in the decathlon.
Rafer, what individual has been most responsible for your development as a track star?
Well, I got my start from my high school coach, Merle Dotson, but I think the man who has done the most with me and getting prepared for international competition has been my coach at UCLA, Ducky Drake. He's a head track coach there and has been my coach for the past 4 years.
Thank you very much, Rafer Johnson, one of the nation's outstanding track stars.
Greatest Sports Thrills with top personalities in the world of sports is narrated by Harry Wismer, directed by Gene Kirby, written by Arthur Suskin Jr., and presented by the United States Air Force in cooperation with this station. This is Bill Reddick speaking. The preceding was transcribed.